Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom. What's going on, man? We back up in the place on the way with you, Hosea. You already know. Each and every week is going down on the Poetic Energy Network station. Man, you already know. Each and every week we got the exclusive stories recording. So what's going on? This is where the scriptures and news collide. And so we're just going to get right into it, man. Today's show is going to be pretty short. We're just going to go over a couple things, and then we'll be up out of here, man. But let's pray it up. Father Yahuwah, in Yahuwah Chamashiach's name, Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for just waking us up today. We pray that you will continue to watch over us and protect us and guard us from all evil. And we thank you and we love you. In Yahushua Mashiach's name we pray, so be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you already know, last week we was talking about some different things that were going on. We had the exclusive information about London as far as the Olympics. And, though, you know, in the coming weeks, that's in a couple weeks. And so we got our eyes on that one. But we got some developing stories that has happened as far as their Iran situation. What has been happening? Last week came across, they just came out with an article, and I believe it is the Parliament of Iran, they had signed a bill. I don't know if it's passed into law, but they signed a bill in which they plan to close the Strait of Hormuz. And so this was recently. And so what had happened is, over the course of the week, the U.S. had put troops near the Persian Gulf, right over by Iran, you know, because just in case they would try to close this Strait of Hormuz, which, if you don't know, is where a lot of oil transactions happen for those nations over there. And so, you know, they threatened to do that, and U.S. puts troops over there, so they're getting ready. And then they also kept releasing statements, and a lot of news articles coming out saying that, hey, we could destroy U.S. bases. We could destroy all 35 U.S. bases that are around Iran in a minute, in minutes, you know, after they will be attacked or anything like that. So that's what's been going on right there, and we're just watching this situation because the intensity is heating up. Like I said, U.S. had just put, you know, troops over there, over by the Persian Gulf. Enabled, you know, so they'll be able to strike. Iran had did the three-day war games in which they were firing long-range missiles. Some of the missiles could reach, you know, the secular state of Israel. And they had been doing that. And so the whole thing, I want you to know, this is where the news, you know, we get the real news. The whole thing about the negotiations of the talks as far as the nuclear program, this is what you got to remember, is their whole M.O., you know, because they're always saying, oh, next week they haven't talked to us. Their whole M.O. is they believe they have the right to have this kind of program. And so since they believe that they have the right to have this kind of program, they will continue to act, you know, act upon this, you know, in which a lot of people think they're trying to obtain nuclear weapons. And so, that's pretty much what's been going down. We got to really keep our eyes on this situation, man, because we're talking about really things are heating up, and also in Syria, and Russia and U.S. are continuing to be divided on issues about Syria. These are situations that we need to keep our eyes over there because things are about to break loose very, very soon. And I heard, I don't have official word about this, but I did hear that also, I believe it is Russia, maybe having also some war games and some different things going on. So we're just going to keep And basically what all these war games do, they simulated, this is what Iran did, they simulated an attack on them, and basically they assimilate, you know, how they would take out bases around there and simulate strategies of war. It's kind of like a practice run of, you know, war. And so a lot of people are getting ready, you know, even China, they're getting ready. U.S., like I said, they got, you know, they're getting naval things ready and all these things. And a lot of nations around are kind of warming up because war is definitely in the air. Just for all the things going on. And so we came across, we also keep you up to date about what's going on as far as concerning the Mark of the Beast, you know, Revelation 13, you know, coming to pass, and what's that may happen. I found out in India, this is a recent article that a guy named Nilakainen, he's the chairman of India's Unique Identification Authority, he has proposed a plan to biometrically database 1.2 billion people in India. And so this project is underway right now in which they're trying to biometrically, you know, they say fingerprints, but they also say other biometric means. And connected to this is Verochip. We know that Verochip is the, you know, the company ran by Mr. Silverman, in which, you know, they're trying to implant these RFID chips. And what he's saying is because these chips will have an identification number, which when scanned will, you know, will release a whole bunch of information about a person, will come up. And so this is a project underway in India, once again. So we just going to keep our eyes on this one. And also we know that the Visa president of Visa said that after the Olympics, there will be a mass production of cash, like, you know, the cashless society, in which, you know, they're moving towards the Mark of the Beast. And so we're just going to continue to watch that, and that's only a couple weeks away. And so that's pretty much the news stories. We also have, you know, we'll continue to keep up to date in the in other situations going around. Just like you have the George Zimmerman case, you know, he had been released on bail. So a lot of people are gonna, you know, have different views about that, and you know, so that's still going down, and we'll continue to watch that and really get the facts on that. But yeah, we just want to move on. You listen to the Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Side, and we're still on the way. Yeah, we just had a quick lesson. Like I said, this show is going to be pretty swift. But we wanted to get into the scriptures. We want to get back to the foundations, and it's some good things that we wanted to go over today. So if you have your scriptures, you need to get your scriptures. So if you have your scriptures, turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. And this is a very important lesson. Just wanted to go over real quick. It's really called like the mystery of the Besor. You know, the Besor is the Hebrew word for good news. So you want to go over the mystery of the Besor. In Colossians 1 and 27, this is what he says. He says, to whom Elohim desired to make known to you the riches of the esteem of the secret among the nations, which is the Messiah in you, the expectancy of esteem. It says, whom we announce, warning every man and teaching every man in wisdom in order to present every man perfect in the Messiah Yahushua. Okay. So we wanted to go over, because a lot of times in the scripture, you know, Shaul or somebody, you know, talks about the mystery of the Besor, you know, the mysteries, the secrets of the Besor. And right here he reveals to them what it is, you know, among the nations, is which is the Messiah in you. Okay. And that's what we want to talk about, the Messiah, you know, the Messiah in us, the secret of the Besor, is understanding once you know, when Yahushua went and he said, you know, wait until the promise, you know, the promise was the Ruach HaKodesh. And the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, is, you know, in which people, you know, erroneously call, you know, Holy Spirit, but is it a set apart spirit in which proceedeth from the Father, and which is the essence of the Father, because the Father is, he is spirit. You know, he's not a man, you know, he is spirit and not flesh. So, you know, so when we receive the Ruach, or the set apart spirit, we receive part of him, part of his nature. So that's the mystery of the Besor is when you receive him, it's the Messiah in you, because the Messiah has also been esteemed in the Ruach form now, you know, sitting on the right hand of the Father. So when we receive the Ruach, we receive part of his nature. It's kind of like the same thing as receiving somebody's DNA. You know, you have a child, you receive, your child will receive a DNA, you know, the DNA. And so, but how does this work? How does this work? Because a lot of people, you know, how does this work? And so we just want to talk about this. And a big thing of how this works is, because we want to talk about the mystery of the Besor, we want to talk about and get back to the basics. But we want to turn to, we're going to be flipping a lot too, so you got to get your scriptures ready. Go to Matthew 13:11. Matthew 13:11. This is before we're going to get to this another verse. But Matthew 13:11 says, and he answered them and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the secrets of the reign of the heavens, but not to them it has not been given. So this is what people don't understand. Is Yahushua said the secrets of the you know, the heavens has been given to us. And a lot of Christians and a lot of people that believe, you know, out there believe it's by human will or force or you know, some kind of, you know, even far as keeping the commandments, you know, they believe it's some kind of will or effort. You know, we know by, you know, we know by works we're not saved. And remember, Yahuwah said in his word, he said, not by might, not by strength, but by my spirit. You know, so it's that's what we should be seeking. That's what, you know, we should be waiting on, the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, because once we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, we will, you know, destroy the works of the flesh. And so, and Yahuwah cannot understand that. John understand that. So when we go to John, and you go to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, verse 30, this is what he said. He said, it is right for him to increase, but me to decrease. So Yahuwah cannot understand that he had to decrease in order for, you know, the Messiah to increase. And in the perspective, you know, that's how we should think, you know, we need to decrease in the flesh in order for the Ruach HaKodesh to increase. Because what is the mystery of the Besor? Yahushua in us. So we got to get to the point where, and it's hard for everybody, you know, to get to the point where, you know, when people look at us, they see Yahushua, you know, because the mystery of the sword, Yahushua in it. So we decrease into the point that we are no longer, we are obsolete, you know what I'm saying? People will see Yahushua in us. They will see that nature. They will see the Ruach. And so we read Romans 1, because we all kind of start off in the same boat. You know, everybody starts off in the same boat. This is what Romans 1 says. Everybody starts off in the same boat. And it says, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And this is what it says. It says, as it has been written, there is no one righteous, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, there is no one who is seeking Elohim. They have all turned aside, they have all gone, became worthless. There are none who does good, no, not one. Okay? We're going to connect that with, that goes hand in hand with Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. You go to Isaiah chapter 53. And it says, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Verse 5, we start at verse 5. He says, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our crookedness. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have went astray. Each one has turned his own way, and Yahuwah has laid upon him the crookedness of us all. Okay? So, this is starting off, you got to understand that, hey, everybody's been in the same boat. Everybody has, sinned and come short of the esteem of Yahuwah. You know, when you got into, when Yehoshaphat was immersing, and, you know, he told the Pharisees, hey, you know, who told y'all didn't have to repent? You know, everybody, you know, has fallen short, you know, and we want to go over some examples, of different things, but let's go to Matthew 23. So you got the scripture, we're going to be flipping a little bit, so you got to get ready. But Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. And that's what he says. He says, but woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, because you tithe and mint, and the anise and the cometh, and you neglect the weightier matters of the Torah, right ruling and compassion and belief. It says, these need to have been done without neglecting to others. Okay? And so going over that, I want to be clear that I have personally fell in this category of the Pharisees and hypocrites. I personally fell in this category because, before. And so, I want to be upfront with you with that. But I have fell in a category where even in Christianity and even coming to the beginning of the truth, in which you'd be to a point where you feel like even though you keep, the commands, you try to keep the commands, but you're not being led by the Lord. You're not letting the Ruach overtake you, because we understand that there's 600 something laws, and we try to do the laws, but that Yahushua was making it clear that there are weightier matters of the Torah in which people neglect, talking about right ruling and compassion and belief. These things are intangible and can't be touched. These are that's what he was talking about. And so personally, I fell in this category, the Pharisees and the hypocrites, where you try to practice the Torah, but you're not walking in the Ruach. You're not walking in the Ruach. And trying to practice the Torah and walking in the Ruach is doing exactly what they were doing. They were trying to, they were forgetting the weightier matters of the Torah and the right ruling and passion and belief. And so I've fallen short in that area. But this lesson has helped me out before, and it's continued to help me out and continue to help us grow, in which we understand that this is pretty much what the lesson is going to be based off, this verse right here. Okay, so we want to talk about the first thing he said, right rule. Okay, remember a couple times he says, Yahuwah is the right ruling of the widows and the fatherless, because a lot of times the widows and the fathers and the homeless, they would be outcast, or they would be discriminated against. But right ruling is, that's what he commanded us to do, to walk in right ruling and to love our neighbor. So when we walk in right ruling, we try to make decisions not based on partiality, but based upon, the truth and how it should be done. So Let's okay, so we're gonna show you an example. If you go to Yohanan chapter 8, Yohanan chapter 8. And so remember what Yahushua said. He said that because we don't want to get to the point, even though you know some people listening, you might not be in the truth, or some people listening might come to the, be in the truth. But we don't want to get to the point where we can't examine ourselves. We can't examine ourselves and fall out of the faith because we're not, remember he said he desires, mercy, not sacrifice. So, because we get to the point, you sacrifice, you're trying to do the Torah, but we can't forget the weightier matters of the Torah. And it's not just the external, part, because that's what a lot of times the Pharisees did. They try to uphold the Torah, but they forgot, these matters. And so, and this is one thing that I've learned and continue to learn, is that, it's really easy to fall into that category. And where we become like that. But once again, we're going back to the mystery of the Besor, Yahushua in us. So we got to just mimic. Ephesians 5:1 says, that we're to be imitators of Elohim. And so we're to be imitators of Yahushua. And we look at how Yahushua walked. I mean, what really convicts me sometimes is when you go through situations and you think about what would Yahushua do, or how would Yahushua have handled that situation better, or would he do this? And you can know in your heart, you can deceive yourself, but you can know in your heart, hey, he would have handled that different. He would have been more gentle, he would have did that. And that's our marker. That's our marker, because Yahushua is he is our brother, and that's our marker into what we look to, and we say we measure ourselves. That's how you measure yourself in the faith. That's how you measure yourself in the faith. You look at Yahushua. I'm sure you read the Besors many a times. And you see how he walked in compassion and right ruling, and you look at that and you say, have I been walking like this? Have I been talking like him? Have I been handling situations like him? And that's our marker to see if we're in the faith. And if we haven't, then we're not walking, according to his work. You know what I'm saying? So that's really a marker, and very. And we just got to examine ourselves all the time to see if we're walking like that. But first, Yohanan chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 1. And this is right ruling and compassion right here. And we're going to see right ruling and compassion going hand to hand. If we want to talk about compassion, what does the word compassion mean? It says right ruling and compassion. Compassion means the sorrow or pity of one in distress, creating a desire of wanting to give relief. It was one scripture where Yahushua had seen all the lames and the disabled people and the different people and also the people that were out there, and it said that he had compassion and pity on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's how we should approach our life. Sometimes a lot of people they'll see a homeless person, they might run them over and not even have compassion, but we just got to have the same pity and compassion for not only our neighbors, but our family, our husband and wives. We got to have compassion for each other, and right ruling. And that compassion, what he says is, it says that the compassion is a sorrow or pity for one in distress, creating a desire of relief. And so one of the scriptures before we get into this, but one of the scriptures when he seen those people like that, when he seen the people that were like sheep without a shepherd, that he healed a lot of them. He wanted to create a sense of relief, you know, because once your heart is softened to see, you know, how a person has suffered, you want to make it better, you know, and you want to create a sense of relief. And so that's what he wanted to do. And so right here we're going to read where compassion and right ruling go hand in hand. It says, and Yahushua went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he came into the set-apart place, and all the people were coming to him. It says, and he had sat down, he was teaching, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, so they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the Torah, Moshe, commanded us that such people to be stoned. What then do you say? See, this is where a right ruling comes in, is because they try to ascribe to the Torah, but yet every time you will try to follow the Torah and you do not have the ruach, you will miss it. You know what I'm saying? Because if we, this is the thing. The Ruach HaKodesh is the only thing that can make us perfect. Yahuwah said, be perfect as I am perfect. And that means mature. He is the only thing that can make us mature. And there, versus us trying to make ourselves mature. And when you get led by the Ruach, you will, because we live in the flesh, we will go, sometimes we will make mistakes and we'll go astray, we'll do some things. And we'll do some things, but we got to continue to move on. But what we're going to say right here is that the Torah of Moshe really commanded that if people were, you know, caught in adultery, you were really supposed to bring both parties, and so they only brought half. They only brought half of it. You know, they only told half the story, and so. It says, and this they said, trying him so that they might accuse him. It says, but Yahushua, bending down, wrote on the ground with his finger, as it said, and though he did not hear. But as they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said, he who is out without sin among you, let him be the first to throw the stone at her. And they said, and they bending down again, wrote on the ground, and when they heard it, they were proved by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest ones until the last. Now this is so important right here. And it said, you know, it's speculative of what he actually wrote, you know, on the ground. We really don't know because the scriptures don't say what he wrote on the ground. He could have wrote a verse in the Torah, maybe. You know, he could have wrote something. He could have wrote the name of Yahuwah. You know, we don't know. But this is telling because the Ruach records right here that they being reproved. When he said this was right ruling. He gave right ruling according to this situation, and he said, "Hey, who is without sin among you? Let him first to be throw the stone." And what was happening here is they were coming to accuse this lady. See, they didn't have it was almost like, you know, let's come and judge her, and you know, and to be, you know, and to be harsh toward her. But we see his reaction versus their reaction. Because, let me see how to explain this. It's almost like a person, you know, going out there, you know, somebody may be a homosexual. Somebody going out there, and yes, we know homosexuality is abomination before you. You know, just like a lot of sins that are different, you know. And just like in this one, people can go out there and try to judge and try to accuse or try to judge and try to bash or try to do whatever against these people. But the fact that is that they have done, we have all gone astray like sheep. So And when he said that line, who without among you cast the first stone? I mean, the stone, that's what clicked in their mind, is because who could pick up the stone, because they have all sinned. They have all, like the scripture say, we just read in Yeshayahu 53, it says we have all gone astray. And just like there's no one righteous, no, not one. You know, and so that what clicked in their mind. They said, hey, man, hey, you know, why are we out here trying to, you know, accuse her when, hey, we have committed some sins in our past too. You know what I'm saying? So we're not here to, you know, how can we condemn her, you know, and, you know, somebody can easily come and condemn us, you know, because that's the thing. Is sometimes we look at, you know, someone may do something and we condemn her or something, but we got to remember that, hey, I've done the same thing, so somebody can easily come and condemn me of the same thing, and I'd be guilty. You know, so that's where mercy and compassion comes in. And so what did Yahushua say? And then in verse 9, it said that they were reproved by their conscience and went away, beginning from the old until, it said, the old ones until the last. And why do you think the old ones left first? Because living longer, and not just, you know, not just saying that it had wisdom and all that, but living longer, the results are most likely that they have understood what Yahushua said, that, hey, I have many, many sins in my past. A person that's 90 versus a person that's, say, hey, 20, I'm sure that person that's 90 have made more mistakes than that person that's 20. And so they thought about that, like, man, like, they said, let me get out of here, because I think about my past and the things I've done. Like, I can't sit here and, it's no way I can throw a stone at her, you know. No way I can condemn her. And so they began to leave. They began to leave. In verse 10, and Yahushua straightened up, seeing that no one but the woman said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, master. And Yahushua said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And this is what he told her. After she had been caught in adultery, we know that one of the commandments is, you know, that, you know, you should not commit adultery, one of the Ten Commandments. And here Yahushua uses right ruling and compassion upon the woman and tells her, you know, hey, I'm not here to condemn you, but, you know, sin no more, you know, and go, you know. And he had compassion and right ruling on it. And so that's what he was showing us in Matthew 23:23 is, yes, there's a part of the Torah in which it's to be upheld, but there's also a deeper part of the Torah in which he came and fulfilled and showed us about, which is love and compassion and right ruling. And so let's go over some more scriptures that talks about compassion, right ruling, and belief. Because these are some things that we need to you know, meditate on and become perfect in. So Matthew 5:48 says, therefore be perfect as your Father in the heavens is perfect. That's what it says. He said, and when you look at that word, you look at that word in the Hebrew, it gives you a sense to mean mature. So it says, therefore be, you know, mature or perfect as your Father in the heavens is perfect. Okay? Let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke 6:36. Here goes another one. Is what he said. Luke 6:36. He says, therefore be compassionate as your Father in heaven, as your Father also is compassionate. And this is what we talked about. He says, do not judge, you shall be judged all. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned all. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be put into your lap. or the measure in which you measure, it shall be measured back to you. And so it's like Yahuwah's law is almost like the law of gravity, you know, or some kind of physical law in which the ratios go back and forth. This is what he said. In some other scriptures, he says, hey, be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. So it's like equal. Just like Ephesians 5:1 said that we are supposed to imitate him, you know, so if he is compassionate, we're supposed to be compassionate. That's how Yahushua was. You see how Yahushua acted in right ruling and compassion? That's how we're supposed to act. You know, and if any time we measure our life, at the end of the day, if we measure our life, or we measure the day, and we see that, hey, we have fallen short of how Yahushua walked, for that moment, we are out of the faith. That's how we judge ourselves according to the word, is looking at Yahushua, the author and finisher of our faith. Remember that verse, it says, look to the author and finisher of our faith. So when we look to him and we see, hey, I didn't walk in compassion today. I didn't walk in love today. You know, it doesn't mean that every day you're going to, you know, accomplish this. Because he that began a good work in you will bring it to completion. But we strive every day, you know, to walk in compassion. We strive every day to forgive, and it shall be forgiven. Forgive, and it shall be given unto you. And so these are some right ruling commands in which he gives us. So let's go to Ephesians 4 and 32. Now, a big part of Yahushua's ministry was compassion, right ruling, and belief. Okay, that's why he named those three things, because that was a big part of his ministry: compassion, belief, and right ruling. Compassion, belief, and right ruling. Why? Because he always said, you know, have faith in him. You know, have faith in, you know, the one the Father has sent. You know, have faith in him. You know, we shall have eternal life. You know, then he taught compassion. Then we just seen he was doing right ruling, because the Pharisees always come trying to trick him, and he always used right ruling, you know, to give the correct answer, and according to the scripture and according to compassion. And so right here in Ephesians 4 and 32, that's what it said. This is like the law of theories. He said, look, be kind towards others, towards one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as Elohim also forgive you in Messiah. And so these always go together. These always go together. We can read verse 30, he says, do not grieve the set apart spirit of Elohim by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and displeasure and uproar and slander be put away along with all evil. Be kind towards one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Elohim has forgiven you. One of the big things we're going to get to in a little bit, that falls right under compassion. But let's go to Matthew 6 and 14. See, when we went over a lot of verses, it's like a lot of these verses you see that the Father says, hey, I do this, you do this. You know, I'm compassionate, you be compassionate. I'm tenderhearted, you be tenderhearted. You know, I love one another, you love one another. You know, I, and it's like he says back and forth. So that's what I just found out. That's the mystery of the Besor, is Yahushua in this, and measuring ourselves according to his word, because you have this thing called the flesh in which we live in, and you have the Ruach which comes in. And what happens is, a lot of times he says, do not grieve the Ruach HaKodesh. And how do we grieve the Ruach HaKodesh? Because since we live in this flesh, we have desires of the flesh. We have fleshly thoughts. You know, that's why sometimes you have a feeling, and, you know, sometimes, and then it'll go away, you know. And or you'll be angry for a second. you know, and then you'll go, and then something happens, and it'll go away. Because we live in the flesh, and the flesh nature is hostility, you know, towards Elohim. You know, it's hostility towards Elohim. And so the flesh, when we live in the flesh, we can no longer operate in the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, sometimes it's very difficult into where we have to become, like, mature and perfect into where every day we're walking in the Ruach HaKodesh. But it's a very difficult task, and I tell you the truth. And anybody can tell you, like, you know, it is not an easy task to always walk in the Ruach HaKodesh, because your flesh, you always have that battle. And so, but we can't grieve the Ruach HaKodesh, because when we grieve the Ruach HaKodesh, the set apart spirit, that means we are continuing to walk in the flesh and not decrease our feelings and our thoughts and our mindset, and let the Ruach HaKodesh rule and have dominion over our body. And so that's what the scriptures, when we read the scriptures, this is Ruach HaKodesh. This is the Ruach HaKodesh, like the set apart spirit wrote this. His set apart spirit wrote this and gave people inspiration to write this. And so when we read the scriptures, this is, you know, in which we should walk like. So if we ever go against that, we are grieving the Ruach because we're not following his word. But he goes back and forth, and you see Matthew 6 and verse 14, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men your trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive their trespasses. And so we want to talk about, like, also, that was one of the biggest things in Yahushua's ministry. The three things we just talked about: compassion, belief, and right willing. And right under compassion, you have, you know, we have forgiveness. And we just read in Yeshayahu 53 that he came, all our transgressions were upon him. You know, all our transgressions were upon him. And we can talk about compassion and right ruling. We talk about, we can just think about examples, and not even just go to the scripture, but think about the life of Yahushua. Think about how they so vehemently hated him. And even on the stake, when he was beside two criminals, and one of the criminals had, you know, had, like we, like us all, have went astray and did some things, and Yahushua did not have any, you know, he had compassion toward him. And he said, you know, today he would be with him. He said, today, you know, he would be with him in paradise. And you think about this. You think about, hey, man, you know, we just think about our life, and we think about, hey, how we can have compassion toward another, and forgiveness toward another. And I was looking this up today because I've really been guilty of this before. That's one of the rules. You know, some rules that he has given us. You know, be compassionate as he is compassionate. You know, love one another as he has loved one another. You know, forgive one another as he forgiven us. And some of these rules, especially like forgiveness, because that's one of the big things of his ministry, is saying, hey, he has forgiven us of our sins, and we should do the same also. And if we don't, we're going to talk about what that, getting deeper, what this forgiveness entails. And the word of forgiveness, we break it down into you know, the Greek and the Hebrew. The basic knowledge of it is that forgiveness has three parts. It's freely, fully, and liberty. Freely, fully, and liberty. And forgiveness is to be an entire and contact and consistent. And we are not to rack up old offenses. Old offenses, we're not to rack up old offenses and charge them against one another. And the Hebrew word, it also means to treat the offense as though they had not been offended. So treat the offender as though they had not offended you. And so we read, like, even the Master's Prayer, he said, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors, you know. And so even when you look on the stake, Yahushua had forgave the man who had venomously sinned against him, who was put to death because of what he had done, and you see the forgiveness on the stake in which he forgave him, and to the point where, you know, he had erased everything that guy had done, and this guy right here was going to enter into paradise. You know, in that moment, he had a lot of people say, you know, you can't forgive, but you can't forget. And I don't know if that's actually, you know, scriptural, because the scripture says, you know, that you can forgive and act though. Because another part of the Hebrew says, it says, it shall not diminish the love, your love towards the offender. Because even you remember what Yahushua taught us in the Torah. Remember, if you had an enemy, and his ox fell in the ditch, you know, you weren't supposed to just walk by him and, you know, be like, you know, I ain't going to help him out, because that's, you know, Tommy last week, he smashed my windows in. You know, I'm not going to help him out, you know, because of this. But Yahuwah didn't put the charge on the person who had been, he said it was a command. And he said, you know, your enemies, our enemies. And so the loving your enemies is not new when it comes to the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, the New Covenant writings. It's not new. It was even in the Torah, Yahuwah said, hey, if your enemies, if his cattle or something or oxen had fell in the ditch, you shall certainly help him. He didn't care what they had did to them. He said, you shall certainly help him, and that's the heart and the compassion and the right ruling in which we should have and we should walk like. And that goes in hand with love too. Also, it goes in hand with love too, because we read 1 Corinthians 13. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, no, yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it is not puffed up, it does not behave innocently, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, reckons not the evil, and does not rejoice over unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It covers all, believes all, expects all, endures all. Love never fails. Now this is very difficult, and we confess our sins to one another so we may be healed. You know, that's how we get through, when we confess our sins. And I know, I can tell you the truth, that I have not always walked in love. I mean, because you think about it, and sometimes, you know, it says it right here, and we just talked about it. He said, love does not, and one of the definitions we just read, he said, love does not, you know, reckons evil. And sometimes, you know, someone has done something to you, and I know how I have reckoned the evil, and it had maybe stood there. But the thing about it is, it's like Yahuwah has commanded us, and I'm beginning to see it every more. He has commanded us not even, whatever somebody had did to us, however they offended, the story doesn't even matter. He said, forgive them and reckon not the evil, because that is love. And you see that over and over what Yahushua did, even when he did with that young lady that was caught in adultery. He could have easily, but he reckoned not the evil and just told her, hey, don't do it no more, you know, and forget about it, you know, and let's move on. And so even with the one, and there's so many examples we can use in which Yahushua walked in love. And I mean, it is not, I tell you the truth, it is not easy to just say this and do these things and walk like this. We truly need the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, man, to walk in love, because that's what he commanded us. Because at the end of the day, he's going to look at us. He's going to look at us, because it's not on other people to get it right. He has chosen us. He has set us apart. And he has chosen us to be examples for people. So if we're not the right examples for people, we're not examples for our children and our household, we're not examples for our family, then who can we blame for them people not knowing the truth? Who can we blame? It will be us. And Yahuwah will blame us. Yahuwah will blame us for not being examples. He will blame us, and we will be punished, you know, if we don't uphold these things, man. So these are the biggest things that he talked about, what the Torah meant was compassion, of belief in right ruling, compassion and forgiveness and belief in right ruling. These things in which we are supposed to, I mean, compassion walks, goes hand in hand with forgiveness. I mean, goes hand in hand with love. And because the word, you know, the word they have for compassion is sometimes in the Hebrew is a hasad, in which wraps that compassion, mercy, and all those things in one. You know, so it's, you know, this is what Yahuwah has shown us, man, and we just implore you to just try to walk in love every day. It's not easy, but we have to hit the reset button when we wake up and say, hey, you know, we're gonna walk in love. We're gonna have compassion, and we're gonna have right ruling. We're gonna have belief. We're gonna have forgiveness, and we're gonna have love. And those things are important, because that's what our walk depends on. I mean, Yahuwah would rather us. I mean, you are to honor your mother and father, you know. But we are to do so many. He has commanded us to do a lot of things, but it's some things that are deeper than that. That if we can walk in compassion and forgiveness, that we seen with that lady, how we treat that lady in the right ruling, that we could do. The only time you really see in the scriptures where Yahuwah has an issue or Yahusha had an issue with people is when it was people who would not repent. They would not repent. They would not be reproved. They would not repent. And because you remember, it was two people praying, and one was walking and was saying, hey, I'm glad I'm not like these people out here, you know. And one of them, he said, man, forgive me, a sinner, you know. And the one guy, remember when we talk about belief, the one guy who said, you know, he was trying to believe but he couldn't, and he said, Father, forgive me, help me for my unbelief. You know, he was honest and like, man, I want to believe, man, but I can't. You know, I just don't have the compassion right now. And help me on my belief. And so it's just like Yahuwah almost wants us to be, you know, submitted and compassionate into and broken down and brokenhearted to where we say, hey, we need you. Hey, we're a mess. We're trying to get it right. We're trying to do these things, but we need your help. You know, versus, you know, we thinking that, hey, you know, hey, we got it together. You know, hey, I'm glad I'm not like you. I'm glad I'm not like this person. I'm glad I don't sin. I do, you know, because we can't throw the stone, because Yahuwah can easily sit in that seat. Yahuwah can easily sit in that seat. And the thing about it is a walk for everybody. You know, you may be joined to a certain group or assembly, but it is a walk for everybody. And everybody will have to answer to Yahuwah. That's the thing. Everybody will have to answer to Yahusha. Everybody will have to stand there and receive their reward for whether they did good or bad in the body. And this is where the foundations is compassion, right ruling. This is what he talked about when he was separating the sheep from the goats. And he talked about, you know, the one that was, you know, sick or in prison, or the one that needed food, or, you know. I mean, he commands us so much to even love our enemies. I mean, that's what he said in the Torah, that if your ox, He didn't care what that person had did. That person, because that law wasn't in there. That person might have slaughtered a family member, but he didn't say nothing about that. He said that, hey, you were to love that person and not treat them any differently. Hey, because that's just why would he command us to that people who so intimately hated us to forgive them and love them and treat them no different, have no kind of hatred toward them? Why would he command us to do such a thing? The reason why is he has done the same thing for us, the same, because sometimes we don't think about how much hatred we have done towards Yahuwah, how stiff-necked we have been towards him, and how we have not kept his commandments, and how Yisrael has been so stiff-necked against him. That's why he commands us to love our enemies. It's because he wants to teach us what he has done for us. And the things, because at one point we were Yahuwah's enemy, and he still loved us. At one point, we were Yahuwah's enemy. We were in the world. We had all went astray, and we were his enemy. We were his enemy, and he still loved us and brought us into the truth and still cared for us, and his heart did not change toward us. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the same way, because you never know. That enemy might become a friend one day. You know, so we can't be partiality. You know, so if we are commanded to love our neighbor, how much more our brother and our sister, our family members? So hey, we just got to continue to walk in the Ruach HaKodesh and not grieve the Spirit. And so hey, you've been listening to Poetic Energy Network Station. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and we're still on the way. Hey, I hope the word went forth, and I hope you got something out of it. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon your family. We love you. And we thank you, and we're out of here. Shalom. Shabbat shalom.